Welcome everyone, and thank you for listening to this episode of VaxHub Careers in Vaccine Development, the podcast that brings you insights into different and exciting professional development opportunities in this space. My name is Ludovica Vaiarelli. I'm the Outreach Coordinator of VaxHub, and it is my great pleasure to guide you through this journey. In this episode, I'm delighted to host Alex Kramer, who is the Commercial Development Manager of Croda Pharma for UK and Ireland. So a very warm welcome to you, Alex.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here today.
Pleasure.
And for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, sure. So I qualified as in pharmacology originally out of the University of Bath. Mm-hmm. Did an integrated master's in which I spent a bit of time working for Janssen Pharmaceuticals over in Belgium, and spent some time working in the British Heart Foundation labs that were located at the university. Finished and didn't really know what I wanted to do with myself, but I didn't think that research science was the direction for me.
Okay.
And so really quite by accident fell into sales, which probably wouldn't have been my decision if you'd asked me prior to doing my degree which way I wanted to go.
Right. What do you mean by accident?
So I had qualified. I found myself in that position that I think a lot of graduates find themselves in. Mm. They have a degree, they have a piece of paper, and they're not quite sure what they want to do with it. And I thought I'd like to utilize the work that I've done in some way, but I don't want to spend that time in lab that would be necessary to mm-hmm. go into research, either in academia or in industry. And I came across a job advertisement one day that was for an entry-level sales position working for a materials distributor.
Right.
So representing various pharmaceutical material manufacturers in the UK for their business. Mm-hmm. I applied for it, completely forgot that I'd applied for it. 2 weeks later, I got a call at 8 p.m. at night from a recruiter who was working for the company, who started asking me a lot of detailed questions about why I wanted the job, which I was sort of racing to remember exactly what it was that I'd applied for. But I was invited to interview, second round assessment day, and then ultimately went to work for them.
Wonderful.
Which turned out to be
it happened.
Yeah, just the most serendipitous event, really, because it's led me down this fantastic path mm-hmm. that I never would have chosen, because I simply didn't really know that the role existed.
Yeah,
I never really thought about materials sales from that side. I spent almost the first 11 years of my career mm-hmm. working in the south of England in distribution, doing a lot of work on solid oral dose, so tableting excipients, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years ago, I was phoned by a recruiter working for Croda. In my previous role, I'd moved from kind of the entry-level position. Over the course of 10 years, I'd elevated up to a European-level role with a speciality in biopharmaceuticals.
Right.
And Croda was particularly interested in someone who had that
experience
background
there. Right.
Exactly.
Can you tell us a little bit about Croda as a company, what you guys do, and then we'll get.
Yeah, sure. So Croda is it's a UK headquartered multinational mm-hmm. That operates. It's a very diverse business. It operates across two core sectors, which is the life science sector, consisting of pharmaceuticals and crop care. And then the consumer care sector, which is personal care, so sort of cosmetics mm-hmm. and home care. Companies coming up for 100 years old, actually started as an entity to process wool grease, which was an offshoot of the Yorkshire cloth trade at the time. They started right. producing lanolin as a rust retardant, and then diversified into absolutely everything. Oh. From there, so it's become a really interesting company. It's now got rid of a lot of that industrial specialties business mm. and focuses purely on its kind of core life science and consumers care sectors. Mm-hmm. Still UK headquartered, FTSE 100 company right. with operations on every continent of the world.
Am I right in saying that you've been involved with the manufacturing of COVID-19 vaccines?
Yeah, that's correct. So the story goes back a little bit before that, actually. Croda had become interested in the vaccine space prior to COVID happening. Mm-hmm. So in 2019, before the pandemic happened, they'd actually acquired a vaccine adjuvant manufacturing facility in Denmark, a company previously known as Biosector. Mm-hmm. And there had been discussions ongoing before the pandemic with Avanti Polar Lipids, who had manufactured the lipids used by BioNTech in the development of the pandemic preparedness platform. So discussions had happened prior to COVID with Avanti, but the acquisition hadn't happened. Mm. When COVID hit, BioNTech outlicensed the vaccine to Pfizer. Pfizer needed a partner who could produce the lipids at a commercial scale and as quickly as possible. Avanti didn't have the capacity to do that, but Croda is a large specialty chemical manufacturing organization, had the ability to produce and also to build additional manufacturing facilities quickly. And as part of that process, Croda made a full acquisition of Avanti Polar Lipids. So they became 100% owned subsidiary of the company. And then we proceeded to manufacture lipids for Pfizer.
So when we talk about lipids, we're talking about the carrier of the mRNA vaccine, am I right?
Exactly. So the lipids that are combined to make the lipid nanoparticle, which you then carry the mRNA within. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. So where do you see the market of for these lipid nanoparticles? How is it moving in the vaccine manufacturing space? Do you think there is, you know, potential for other type of vaccines? Has it been used in other type of vaccines?
I think there's definitely potential for further development in the nanoparticle delivery space. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are what we've seen with COVID is the fantastic potential of the lipid nanoparticle as a carrier for mRNA, but also some of the issues that we have with current formulations. So for instance, the temperature sensitivity,
of course,
makes it very challenging as a formulation to supply into the developing world, where you can't necessarily maintain the cold chain. So there's definitely room for improvement.
Is it possible to make them more thermostable?
That's a great question. There are a number of companies who are working on that very question at the moment. So hopefully it is, because it would be fantastic enabling technology if we can. But I guess we shall see. No one's on the market with one yet.
Yes. Okay.
I think that said, there's still some issues with mRNA vaccines that suggest that we still will have protein subunit vaccines or virus-like particle vaccines going forwards. I don't think it's going to be the case that lipid nanoparticles and mRNA is going to completely take over the entire vaccine space.
Yeah. That's what I've heard from other people I've been talking with. They also said that it's important to keep the diversity of different platforms and keep going with the research in the space, not just focus on one only platform. We will need more in general.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a great synergy between academia and industry in that respect, because what you see in industry is once somebody has got a product to market, nobody wants to be first, because the risk is in being first. Mm. So COVID was quite an exceptional event because it was worth that risk.
Yes.
At that moment to go with what was at the time an unproven technology.
Right. Okay. Anything else?
So what I think we'll see is, I mean, industry will now invest heavily. Now that it is a proven technology, we've injected billions of doses of mRNA vaccines. We're going to see a huge amount of investment in optimization. That's what tends to happen with any technology as it comes to market. But it's great to have academia there, because academia can continue to work on those new emerging technologies that might provide solutions to some of the hurdles that we see with mRNA.
Right.
So I mean, the cost again for developing world vaccines is a massive, potentially a massive inhibitory factor, and we desperately need to get costs down and improve vaccine access.
Of course. So there is a lot of collaboration going on in between academia and industry in order to bring, I guess, innovation out there.
Yeah.
Jumping back to what you actually do on your sort of like daily activities, I guess. Would you be happy to share just a little bit about what you enjoy about your work and what inspires you maybe?
Okay. So I mean, just to be clear on, because a commercial development manager is a pretty amorphous role, it could mean anything really. So in terms of what I do, I run the UK and Irish sales team for Croda Pharma. But I'm also responsible for some business development in the territory myself. So I'm both do a team leadership role and kind of a direct sales role. In terms of what I enjoy about that, so I think this is why I didn't end up going into research academia myself, is I absolutely love toe dipping into science. So I love the diversity of science that I get to have contact with. Whereas I think in research, it's much more focused. You'll become an expert in one area, and you have to, in order to progress, you have to become entirely focused on that subject. So I'm very inspired by the breadth of science that I get to be involved with. I don't just work in the vaccine space. Croda works across also, protein-based therapies, gene therapies, and small molecule pharmaceuticals, our heritage business. So I'm very lucky in that I get to see a huge amount of different therapeutic options that are being developed. And it's really exciting to see some of those now moving. These are that have been in development for some time, and these are therapies that are now moving towards being really life-changing medicines in coming years.
With an actual impact, meaningful impact.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any tips or, I don't know, recommendations for people that would like to have a similar career to yours? And what's also, why do you think, if you agree with what I'm going to say, why do you think it's important to have a science background to then succeed in the job that you do?
Okay. So interesting to give tips considering that I fell into it by accident, but I think my advice would actually be to try and firstly understand what the options are out there. That's something that I had singularly failed to do before I finished my degree. I really didn't understand about the diversity of options that there are for roles within the pharmaceutical sector. I was very lucky that I fell into one that suited me. But I think if you really wanted to go into something like a commercial role, then probably look at your options in industry. Speak to industry early. Croda, for instance, has graduate programs that you can apply for that will rotate you through a range of commercial roles within the organization. We also have research programs if that's the path that you wanted to take, but it's good to get contact with industry as early as possible in the process. You could probably reach out to people who are working in the role and they would speak to you. I know, certainly if someone reached out to me on LinkedIn and they said they were interested in working in a role like mine, I would probably reply to that.
Just be brave enough to
give advice. Yeah, absolutely. If the role that you want to do is sales, reaching out to people is going to be a big part of what you do.
Absolutely. A lot of networking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Building those soft skills.
Absolutely. Yeah. I get a good idea of what sales looks like in the pharmaceutical industry as well. I think one of the reasons I wouldn't have probably said that I would go for sales is that I didn't really have a very accurate perception of what sales involved in the pharmaceutical industry. I think for a lot of people, sales is a bit of a dirty word. Whereas what we do is it's really a lot more informing people about their options, making them aware of the company. That's what we do. We're speaking to people who are entirely versed in the subject that we're speaking about. We're not trying to,
persuade.
But we're not really in a position where we're trying to persuade someone to use something that they that they don't need or want. We're trying to tell them about an option that they have.
The benefits, and of course.
That might facilitate the delivery of a therapeutic payload that they've been working on.
Do you think that it's important to have a science background to succeed in a career, commercial career?
So I think it's very useful. I think it will depend a little bit on which section of the pharmaceutical industry that you're selling into. Mm-hmm. So when I had previously worked in distribution more on the solid oral dose side, so tablets and capsule excipients, I met some very successful salespeople who didn't come from a scientific background, and they had come in through other parts of the organization, perhaps through supply chain parts of the organization, and moved into sales, and they flourished there, and mm-hmm. it was fine. I would say now, moving in some of these more technologically complex areas of the industry that we work with in through Croda, I think it is very helpful to have a science background to do sales, primarily because of what I spoke about, that we are trying to explain the advantages of something, of a material or a system that we could supply. And it's, unless you can understand what the problem that the person you're speaking to has, it's really difficult to explain how those advantages are relevant to them. Yeah. So I do think it's becoming increasingly useful.
Important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Final thought on where would you want your career to kind of, how would you want to direct your career in the future?
That's there's a number of directions that a person in my position could go in. So I could go down more of a kind of a sales team management route, where your speciality becomes managing sales teams, and it's much more about dealing with people within mm-hmm. the organization. The other way that you can go is to specialize within a kind of a technology sector. So as I said, Croda has platforms that work on nucleic acid delivery, for instance. So you could go and become a specialist salesperson or a sector manager who then focuses down on one area that the business works within. Mm-hmm. And in that case, you don't need to do the team management part, but you need to then upskill with regards to the specialism that you've chosen.
Right.
Personally, I think I'm more interested in the specialisms side of the business. But that's just because it's such a rapidly evolving market that we're working in. There's just so much going on there that it looks absolutely fascinating mm-hmm. from the outside. And I think it's really exciting to think where we're going to be in 10 years time.
Yeah.
Like I always say that even since I was at university, which is now seeming like a worryingly long period of time ago, people are doing things now that would have seemed on borderline magic when I was coming out of university. Mm. And nowadays they're just they're a kit. There's a ready to use kit that you can pull into your lab, follow the steps that are written on the instruction sheet that comes in the box, and get a result. It's completely remarkable.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very, very fascinating space.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this episode of VaxHub, Careers in Vaccine Development, the podcast that brings you insights into different and exciting professional development opportunities in this space. My name is Ludovica Vaiarelli. I'm the outreach coordinator of VaxHub, and it is my great pleasure to guide you through this journey. To delve deeper into the world of vaccine development and production through fascinating stories from researchers, academics, entrepreneurs, and policymakers, among others, be sure to also explore our other podcast episodes, as well as our summary video series on the same topic.